Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, Jeff Van Drew, Congressman Van Drew, got a big promotion. He'll be with us shortly here on the Dom Show. Pope Francis, this guy did not get the memo. Maybe it's in a language that he doesn't speak too well or think too well in. Apparently, all languages. He has just appointed one of the most virulent clergy, cardinals, that is anti-Trump. That's right. Cardinal Robert McElroy, A vocal critic of President Trump, particularly on immigration, supporter of migrants, says the bio, and LGBT people, considered one of the country's most progressive Catholic leaders to take over in Washington. The appointment, says the Wall Street Journal, signals the Pope's wish for a more liberal U.S. Hierarchy and comes 2 weeks before Trump takes office. He's put in Washington to be right there in the belly of the beast, installing one of the country's most progressive Catholic leaders to oversee more than 600,000 faithful around the Capitol. He's been an ally to the Pope. He's from San Diego for nearly a decade. The Pope named him a cardinal in 2022. Now, he's not the guy that said excommunicado. I think that's another guy. I guess he was unavailable if you were a border agent during the early years of the Trump government, the first term. So it's going to be interesting to see if Catholics routinely going to hear from this guy when devout Catholic Joe Biden leaves. Amazing stuff. I mean, the reign of Pope Francis, Henry and I have talked about seeing Conclave. I'm not going to give away the ending. I like the film a lot.
They essentially just promoted Stanley Tucci here. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
His character.
Well, and Stanley Tucci is not as liberal as this guy is, based upon what I can say. I'm just.
Oh, really?
Because yeah. Yeah, he's pretty liberal. Yeah. But I don't think. I want to believe he's not as liberal as this guy. This guy's got a long history. I don't know. Tucci wasn't propping up illegal immigrants. Maybe he didn't. That line was unavailable to him in the movie. All right, let's go to Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Congressman, Happy New Year and congratulations.
Thank you, Dom, and Happy New Year to you and to all your listeners. And hopefully it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a little roller coaster. It's going to be bumpy, but we're going to get good things done.
Absolutely. To that point, Judiciary Committee is one of the prime committees to be on, and you will now be the head of the Oversight Subcommittee. What does the Oversight Subcommittee do?
Well, this is something I've wanted to do for a while. I want to thank Chairman Jordan for working with me on this. I really appreciate him. I enjoy so much working with him. He really is a true patriot and a good American. So this oversight committee is, as chairman, I'm going to have purview over the FBI, the DEA, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, the Bureau of Prisons, parts of Homeland Security, and other areas as well, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Not only all those, but that's a good substantive part of it. We're going to do a couple things, Dom. There's two major parts to this. One, dig in and find out what the hell the culture was that allowed so many of the abuses to average everyday Americans take place. You know, I said this to the Attorney General when we had our hearings in the past in front of the full committee, and I said it to the FBI director. You know, it used to be they were there to protect us from the bad guys. Now we, the good Americans, we need protection from them. It's not going to be that way with the new administration, but I want to find out what, in detail, digging deep, what happened in the past with everything from Russian collusion to the laptop that was supposedly never existed to, you know, if I can, and we'll have to find if it's my purview, exactly the George Soros connection with prosecutors and attorneys general in these various states. And that we're still researching if that's something I would have purview over. I hope I do. But we're really going to dig into this stuff. And that, the reason we are.
Yeah. I was just going to give you one small request, and maybe it's minor, yeah, maybe in some ways, but I think to me it became the face of this when you talk about weaponizing them. The Richmond, and I don't think it just stopped in Richmond branch, putting out that memo, and then they go out and surveil devout Catholics just going to a mass that was in Latin as if they were potential domestic terrorists, taking license numbers, following up on all them. And Christopher Wray would always stonewall you guys, or the Senate at least, and just say, well, that's a private matter. We're not going to bring them in for testimony.
Oh, he did stonewall until we got, and I'm proud of our committee in the House, we got the emails that came out of the, you know, the mm-hmm. Richmond field office. And then, even worse, I remember I asked him this specifically. This is etched in my memory. I said, are there other offices?
Yes, has
this
that's
happened
it.
Anywhere? He said, no, only limited to there. Then we got emails, thank God for whistleblowers, that showed it wasn't the only office, that they were planning on doing this nationally. Unbelievable. But it's not just that. It's FISA. We were spying on good Americans only because they had a difference of opinion. That is not allowed in the United States of America. We allow every opinion. So whether you're liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, whatever you are, socialist, libertarian, you are allowed to express yourself in America. And they were going after people that were conservative. You know the stories. I mean, we had links between the banks and the FBI and Facebook. It's all complicated, but it all amounts to one thing. If you were buying religious items, if you were buying guns or ammunition, if you were a member of conservative groups, if you were a traditional Roman Catholic, and some say, I couldn't get him to admit it, and he got angry with me, which led me to believe there's some truth, you know, evangelicals as well. Evangelicals and Roman Catholics are strong in their faith. Others are too, but I mean, particularly those two. So that was awful. And here's the deal, Dom. Did we get there? What allows us to fall that much? And how about FISA?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Just, again, what happened? After we allow millions of times good Americans to be investigated by the FBI, 50% of the FBI budget is for this kind of stuff. Let's find out where that money is really going. Now, these aren't the agents on the ground. These aren't the agents in your district offices who are good people doing their job trying to stop bad guys. Here's the deal. Most Americans believe that the FBI and the Attorney General and the Department of Justice in the aggregate that are going after bad people, organized crime, disorganized crime, drugs, et cetera. That's good stuff. We need to do that. We need to stop them. Terrorism. But we need to find out why we're going after or had gone after Americans and set up a system in place, regardless of whichever power, whichever party is in power, that this never happens again.
Yes. Well, I knew this was an important position, but this is right there at the belly of the beast of what's going on. So really, they have the perfect guy for it. We're talking with Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Congressman, the last time you were on, you said something that made news with our listeners. They were heartened to hear it, and we're getting only under 2 weeks away, thank God, to the inauguration, about the executive order around wind that would put it on a hiatus and study for 6 months. Maybe listeners didn't hear it at that point. Tell us what's going to happen, you believe.
Well, about a month ago, I spoke with President Trump on this. He said, Jeff, I'm with you. I mean, he kept his word. He said this was something. He said it in Wildwood. Mm-hmm. We had 107,000 people there. He has said it at various locations. He knows how bad this is. Again, for everybody listening, don't fall into the trap because you think you're a Democrat that you are for wind. Wind is bad for the environment, bad for the fishermen, bad for the ratepayer, bad for national security, makes us beholden to foreign countries. It is the worst deal for America ever. It really is. So, you know, when I spoke to him about a month ago, he said, Jeff, I'm with you. Make me an executive order. So we got right down to it. I've got some good people in my office. One gentleman by the name of Haddon Antonucci, who's worked with me on this wind issue for years, my chief of staff, Allison Murphy. We got an executive order done for him in 48 hours. I then spoke with Doug Burgum, who he instructed me to speak with, who's going to be the new Secretary of Interior, who got it to the landing team in Interior, and having their attorneys review it, make sure that we've crossed every T and dotted every I. They initially like it very much, and it would do exactly what you said. Study the repercussions of this, because the leases were not granted properly. When they give leases, like, for example, when you lease out to oil or gas, man, they got to jump through hoops, and they should. They just gave these leases out right, without, you know, being concerned of the effect of on regular people who are affected by this at all. So basically what this executive order would do is look at the effect on the ratepayer, look at the effect on the fishermen, look at the effect on tourism, look at the effect on national security, look at the effect on how we're going to rely on foreign countries for our energy. It's just bad. So they're looking at that now. I'm hoping in January or February that he does that executive order, but he has indicated total support for it. I am going to see him on Saturday about some other issues as well, and this is one that I am going to bring up with him.
Well, tell him listeners really like the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. And I personally want to do, see if he can get me in there to do the first broadcast from Greenland. That would be a plus once we next Greenland, which I'm starting to think there's a real possibility of that.
Well, you know what? I mean, the Democrats should even like Greenland because it's green.
Yeah.
You know, they always like the new green. This, yes, to me, is the real, yeah, Green New Deal, right?
Yeah.
This is the Green New Deal. So, look, you know, he's making a point. The point is, what, and I can't say it, if you and I were, you know, right, just sitting somewhere talking, having dinner at a bar, I would say, what bull, and you could finish the word. Countries like Canada, Trudeau, criticize the United States, beat the United States up, take advantage of the United States, don't maintain your borders. You know, the only reason they exist and they're not prey to foreign invaders is because of the United States. You know, somebody said humorously, and it's true, the state trooper force in Rhode Island could whip Canada's military. I mean, they have no basic military. No wonder they can afford to spend money on other stuff, and they still have, because of socialist policies, super high inflation, high cost of living, all kinds of problems there economically and otherwise. And now, finally, the left is very unpopular. People get it. There's repercussions to the way you vote. And when you vote for these people, they're going to make your life harder. And they have. But his point is this. Look, if you're a good country and you're saying, we appreciate the United States, we're with you shoulder to shoulder, the way Israel is, he's not going to say that. He's not going to do that. But he's making a point. Hey, you know, we just give you money, you bleed right, the United States, and then you expect us to take all your crap. And I hate to use that word, but it is what it is. And just, you know, you're allowed to do that. That's weak. And we're not weak. We're America. We're strong and we lead.
Now, I think this is the first conversation with you in the new year. Dan and I hadn't seen you until last year at Mulligan's with the Scotch, and we were amazed at the transformation. Are you doing something new for the new year, or are you keeping the same exercise that resulted in that?
So, for those that are listening that care, I don't know how many really do, for decades of my life, I've always worked out really hard. I do a lot of body weight exercises, crazy numbers of them. And they, you know, you get a little older like me, they don't hurt you. So I do literally, no exaggeration, and, you know, 2-hour workout when I get up really early. I will do thousands of push-ups, pull-ups, chin-ups, dips, and then every day I will do 4 to 5 miles on the elliptical and for about an hour. And I always did that. And then I got in Congress, and I kidded myself, oh, I don't take the elevators, which I generally don't. I'll walk around the halls, and that'll be good enough because I'm so damn busy. And after a few years, man, I felt slow and lethargic. It's not who I am. I'm not a big guy, but I try to keep really active and move, and that I can do. So I went back to that routine. It was one of my major New Year's resolutions. Another one was, which I've done pretty well on, still not good enough because of my schedule, is to make mass more often. I was getting really bad with that. Okay. I've gotten better. I want to get better yet, because at the end of the day, guess what? We're all traveling that road, you know?
Exactly right.
So for me, that was important. And I had a bunch of other things as well. This year, I have less because I had like 10 last year. But my major resolutions were not to sweat the little things. I can get so unbelievably aggravated about things that sometimes end up being inconsequential. I want everything to be right. I want it to be a certain way. And sometimes, especially in this business, it just doesn't work out that way. So I kind of made a resolution, give it your best. And that's part of my resolution. Always break your back, man. Do everything you can. Give it 1,001%. And if it works out, great. And that's good. And if it doesn't, maybe try again. But don't get mad at others. Don't get mad at yourself. Just push harder. So kind of to let it go once in a while, you know?
Good resolution. Well, congratulations again. We look forward to talking in the new year. This is heavy-duty stuff. They got the right guy, without a doubt, you and Jim Jordan there. So thank you, Congressman, very much.
Tom, I always appreciate you. I appreciate you getting the word out. Real quick, what did you make any New Year's resolutions?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I did. I'm back in the gym 4 days a week, Dan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
You working out with Congressman?
Yeah. Well, no, I couldn't keep up with that now. When we see him at Mulligan's, I hope to.
Can we organize a physical fitness test between the two of you?
Well, how about if you participate, Dan? We'll take the first guy coming down the street.
I will not participate.
Oh, man. A push-up contest. We'll do 200 push-ups. Come on. How many push-ups would you do that? Yeah.
You know what? No matter what, it's just a matter of moving. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to do the push-ups, pull-ups and all. Yeah, I mean, it's good to do. Right. I love doing them. But you know what? If it's just a matter of, gee, I'm going to skip the elevator. It's amazing how much those little things really can help. Take a walk after dinner. You know, if you got a dog, walk those types of things.
Whatever it is,
just to keep moving a little bit. So sounds good.
Thank you, Congressman. We'll see you at Mulligan's this year, and I'm getting ready. Oh, man. Can you throw a football 40 yards, though?
I threw the football with my 8-year-old grandson, and I do okay, but I don't – 40 yards, I'm not so sure, you know?
Yeah, so, get working on that one, too.
Can you?
Of course.
Well, yeah, it's one of the claims that he always makes is a 40-yard football throw. Jordan Mailata just had a catch Wayne Johnson and couldn't make it 40 yards. But Tom thinks he's...
Dan, have you seen him throw it 40 yards?
No. It's just baseless claims, Congressman.
We did have a contest.
We'll make it to Mulligan's, make it to the beach, and see him throw it 40 yards on the beach. We'll measure it out.
All right, you got it. I just want the wind to be right that day. Thank you, Congressman, very much. Let's work on the wind schedule down there at Mulligan's. Oh, it's going to be a great summer, though. Don't miss any. By the way, don't miss us at the Knack. Nick Cale, Dawn, and I all broadcasting from the Knack. You know, if you're not going to Washington, it's the place to be. Newtown Athletic Center on Inauguration Day, particularly at the moment that Trump sworn in for the second term. And your chance to talk about it on the air as it goes on. In 2016, it was enormous, the response. So get there early. Stay. There'll be food, drink, etc. Thank you to Jim Worthington for that. All right. We'll have to revive that. Henry, you can throw 40 yards, right?
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, I think I can.
I don't think you're going to beat Dan, though. I got to give Dan credit.
Oh, really?
I think he had flip-flops on. We're in the middle of a street, and he just threw it, I'd say, 44 to 46 yards at least.
Just bomb it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the ball explodes out of my hands like Josh Allen, but yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how
it. We did have a ringer. There was a ringer from the former mayor who threw it. He hit a car and didn't butt off. We had to get out of there.
Yeah.
It was close to 60 yards.
That sounds like something I would do, hit a car.
Yeah. Rumor maybe Ron Jaworski might turn over this time and participate. He threw it 88 when he tried out. All right, right now.
I don't think we still do
that. Right.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
That is right. And today we're playing for a pair of tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, January 11th to 20th. For tickets and more information, visit PhillyAutoShow.com.
Yeah, Dom, today's Money Melody has to do with the side question again.
Okay.
So obviously today we're talking about that all-time heartbreak. Who broke your heart?
This person broke your heart?
Obviously, there's a lot of songs about heartbreak.
Ah, okay.
And I took a very famous one, You're So Vain by Carly Simon. Very famous tune. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. But I'm going to do a cover version of it.
Okay.
So I want to know which 90s singer, we'll say, is covering this song.
To the party, like you were walking into a yacht. You had strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go
by. Henry, you couldn't pick a better one?
I think it has to be a female singer, too. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, once you hear it and you know that Gene, it's iconic, okay? But
well, to that point, I mean, this guy was kind of ahead of his time.
I'm getting a sense of here. Yeah.
What are you giving things away for?
All right, so
I kept it vague on purpose.
Hit us with that, and you're off to the auto show. Here's how you do it, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do, push pound 1210.
The Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
Yes, that's right. Let's hear the clue again. A cover of You're So Vain. Who's doing this?
So vain. Well, I hear you want to sell.
Yes, this is pretty bad, even though. let's go to Michael and Abington.
Like Bruce Springsteen.
All right, Michael, who's covering that song?
It sounds like Marilyn Manson.
Yes, you are correct. And Michael, you know, the comments during a break between us, Marilyn Manson, precursor to everything that we see today, right?
Well, you take everything that was controversial.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 1995, Marilyn Manson, controversial for everything. Yes. And then you look at 2025, and the guy would kind of fit right in with the internet crowd.
Yeah, exactly right. Good ear, Michael. I'll put you on hold, and we will get those tickets off to you. By the way, Bondi, Rollins, and Zeldin are set for confirmation hearings next week. Don't think any of them is going to have trouble. Bondi, maybe a little bit of back and forth. And the Senate Armed Services Committee announced it will host Pete Hegseth on January 14th. These guys can't start on Monday. They'll have to get in on Tuesday. And Grassley will do Pam Bondi's hearing the same day. Okay? Kash Patel... let's see. We're not seeing when he's going to be announced yet. That's the biggie. That and RFK Jr. that I'm looking forward to. But we'll have full coverage on that. All right, you get in at 855-839-1210. Today, looking for something. This is coming off the Ray Dininger thing. Somebody or something that really disappointed you, broke your heart, in other words, is what we're looking for. By the way, a lot of reaction to President Trump today. Might be the side question tomorrow. I'm working it up in my mind. Yeah, why couldn't we rename the Gulf of Mexico, which principally seems to be involved with a lot of U.S. territory, the Gulf of America? Why do that? You know, why go through all that? That's what the other side's going to say. Well, why not? Well, it's going to cost money. They object to anything like this that's bold, And I'm not sure if Trump is going to be able to get Congress to go back and rename Fort Bragg, Fort Bragg from Fort Liberty due to all the nonsense that's happened. Why would
they sell it to liberals as it's being honoring Alvin Bragg? Then maybe they can get it passed.
Yeah, Oh, but you were sitting on that one for a while. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how much renaming goes on. Dan, what else do we have from the Trump press conference today?
Dom, going through it. Do you want the audio of the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, let's hear him say that. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, let me say, I thought I had that queued up, but I guess I do not. I switched off there. I apologize, Dom. First off, I have Trump talking about the 620 million acres of offshore drilling.
Yes.
Take a listen.
Say we manufacture, we don't manufacture. The thing we have oil and gas more than anybody in the world. We're going to have more of it, too. But they took away 625 million acres of offshore drilling. Nobody else does that. And they think they have it, but we'll put it back. I'm going to put it back on day one. I'm going to have it revoked on day one. We'll go immediately if we need to. I don't think we should have to go to the courts. But if we do have to go to the courts, you know, they try to be sneaky. They go in and they sign. Remember, this is a man that said he wants the transition to be smooth. Well, you don't do the kind of things. You don't have a judge working real hard to try and embarrass you. Because I did nothing wrong. By the way, I did nothing. Absolutely.
Okay, let's stop that one. We'll play the Gulf of Mexico. A point on this, it's not going to be easy from what I'm told. Look, Trump's got to say it's part of their persona and the whole thing. Day one, Biden has laid something here that's going to be fought out in the courts. It's going to take a while. And it's just another example of Dr. Jill Biden, and the whole crowd around him pulling the strings, how much they want to just continue to inflict damage on the everyday American. And I want to play this, Dan, cut 15. I may stop it at some point here. It's Joe Scarborough today saying, how in the world are we not recognizing how good the Biden presidency has been?
For the first time, Willie, since George W. Bush's inauguration, no American troops were at war.
All right, stop it right there. Not due you clown, to this clown. That's not due to it. Look at the pullout in Afghanistan. Look at the carnage. Look at what has resulted in damage to the average American. So move on, Joe. Give us another.
Inauguration Day. Murders way down.
Oh, God.
Illegal immigration falling below where it was when Donald Trump left office.
Not true. Not true. Stop. Stop it right there. Not true. All right, continue.
And finished at their best 2 years in a quarter century and are at record highs. Jobs are up. Wages are rising. The economy is growing as quickly as it did during Trump's presidency.
Okay, now that's the end. Let's stop it right there. I wanted to make this point for the millionth time. How often did people like this, he and the wife, who are living the good life, to just absolute morons who are probably worth $30 to $40 million net worth between the two of them some way or another? And the average American and what this family did and these historians and the Michael Beschloss and all these people talking to Biden because of inflation. Making Americans have to make all these choices that they shouldn't have to make. We just talked about the housing in Levittown, people trying to get a home, still wanting to tell us how good the economy is. Well, what metric would you like to use? If I say inflation, they say, oh, well, look, inflation's down. And they actually have made themselves believe it. It's the rate of inflation. And by the way, it goes back up and down. It hasn't been steady. We're talking about baked-in inflation. And here Biden wants to hamstring Trump from the number one thing, and Trump gets this, that will help us break through on inflation, energy sources, cheap energy sources, going back to that. How many times did Americans hear that? Why are you complaining about the economy? The economy is great. And we would answer that. We'd go round and round with it. But hey, it's got to feel good after the election. All right, coming up. Yesterday was the day that we certified the second Trump term. And we happened to have on Scott Presler. And we also had on Michael Whatley, two of the key players. It's just by happenstance. And we thought, yeah, we got to get Linda Kearns on here. And Dan has some sound of Trump saying we must ensure vote counting in elections finishes at 10 p.m. on election night.
One of the things we're going to do is we've got to fix the election so that we get honest counts and they get done by 10 o'clock in the evening or something thereabouts. They have places where they're still counting votes.
Well, we'll find out. Is Linda Kearns going to be able to have that election count? See, I don't want it to happen, Dan, that early. I mean, we got a business here. We got radio. That was one of our biggest spectaculars. I don't want it to go to 3 in the morning. I'll settle for a midnight or 1 o'clock. You know, a little tension here. Linda Kearns, is she actually working on making it 10 p.m. that it's over? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. All right. We had to do that, of course. It's part of the deal. We all have to go through this. That means Linda Kearns is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Linda, welcome in. And yesterday we had on some of the people that won this for everyone. And we wanted to not forget you on certification day. We were fully booked, though. We wanted to do that today. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you again and again.
I appreciate that, Tom. But were you making fun of my and rolling your eyes at my love of Elvis? Is that what was just happening? Because tomorrow is the most important day of the year. Yesterday wasn't that important. Tomorrow is Elvis's birthday. So what are you doing to celebrate that?
We may have to do some kind of side question around that. I don't know. I've always liked the hair. I'd like to have hair like that. Dan, we'll have to work that, put that into the milieu there. So, yeah. Linda, before we get to something you're working on, Dan found this clip of the president today. We just played it saying, yeah, we're going to ensure vote counting by 10 p.m. on election night. Are you working on that?
Right. So obviously, I agree in principle with that. Absolutely. It's the execution of that that is going to take some forethought. If people may not remember, but when Biden first took office, he and Congress, they were talking about taking over elections, federalizing elections, centralizing elections with the federal government. And we as conservatives were saying, no, 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 you cannot do that. That is not the way we design elections. We leave these decisions to the states. So we do have to be careful with whatever election reform that we're coming up with while Trump is in office, that we don't do the exact opposite of what good election integrity is, which would be federalizing elections and centralizing it too much in the federal government. Because, Dom, like, for instance, in here in Pennsylvania, if there was some type of federal law that says all counting has to be done by 10 p.m., the only way really to get that done, if we still have mail balloting, would be to start counting ahead of time. But before we count those ballots ahead of time, we have to make sure we have systems in place that people cannot vote by mail and then vote on the machine. And while we do have some of those systems in place, it's not as perfect as I would like it. So the last thing I want is to start counting ahead of time before we have those safeguards. And remember, Dom, we have 67 counties. If we don't have some type of uniformity and accountability as to when that pre-counting is going to start, I can't imagine how I would be able to get watchers. It was difficult enough to schedule watchers, you know, knowing that they were all going to start on election day. But to think if I had to schedule watchers for 67 counties, not knowing when they're going to start counting, if some of them start a week ahead of time, if some of them start 5 days ahead of time, if some of them start at 9 a.m. So there's a lot of detail that has to be ironed out. But that's you know, that's President Trump. He comes up with the big ideas and then people like me execute them.
Well, I don't see the need, though. I hate to object, but the 10 p.m., yeah, that's, you know, I'm okay if it's midnight, 1 in the morning, just not the drawn-out type of stuff. And we seem to achieve it pretty well this time across the board due to your efforts and others. So, Linda, what are you working on at this point?
So, if you remember, I spent a lot of time on your show and a lot of radio stations all across the Commonwealth recruiting people to be both poll watchers and poll workers. And the poll workers are the people that go that are sitting there when you go in to vote, that they check you in, they make sure you're in the book, you sign the book, they set up the machine for you. And in Pennsylvania, what a lot of people don't realize is those are elected positions. We vote for them, and we're going to vote for them this year. And that's part of the problem with not taking care of election integrity every single year, is that if we don't, as Republicans, have people on the ballot and have them voted in this year, then my job is much harder in a presidential year in 2028, because I'm trying to get people appointed, I'm trying to recruit people, I'm trying to put poll watchers where I know I don't have poll workers. So you can actually file to run for it to be a judge of election, majority inspector, minority inspector in your election district, and that's this year, and you have to get 5 signatures, and that opens the signature period opens up on February 18th. So we're going to see if we can recruit some people to actually run and be on the ballot and then be at every election between now and 2028. So that by the time 2028 rolls around, we have people who are really invested, who have been working these elections, who know everybody. So that's what we're working on now.
That is great stuff. The incrementalism of this way in advance, certainly. So, Linda, all things being equal, then I think you'll be our first guest the first hour when we're broadcasting from the NAC, as we did before. But this one, you'll be there along with, we think, hundreds of listeners. In 2016, it was like that when Trump takes the oath of office.
Happy to do it. You know, I am working on the inauguration committee right now. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so I'm not actually planning the party. So I'm reviewing all the contracts and so forth. So it's really an interesting process. And I think citizens should be aware how much goes into one of these inaugurations. I mean, it's planning a huge event that really goes over a few days, because there's events, you know, that Saturday and Sunday and Monday. So it's a lot to plan.
Well, I commend you. You won't be there for the parties. You'll be with us, which is a better party and better company, and we promise maybe some mentions of Elvis.
Well, I did go to the inauguration in 2016, and it was a great experience. And this year, there's going to be a big lawyer luncheon the day before from the Republican National Lawyers Association to honor all the lawyers who participated. But then I'm going to come back to Philadelphia. So, yes, I am happy to be there to talk to you guys about the inauguration. And I think we'll be a little bit warmer than the people who are actually at the inauguration. We'll be inside. We won't be out in the elements. So I think that's going to be a great day.
One question for you. I put this poll up yesterday. I have the results, and sadly, it's a sign of the apocalypse. Each year, I ask this with the first snowfall. Many years, it's been 80%. It's down to the final was 68.9%. Said, if you dig out of space in Philadelphia, wherever you are, Linda, then you deserve to keep that space. Henry says, only if you put an object in there to protect it. Dan, Bill Baggins said, he's not Philadelphia. What can you expect, Tom? What are you going to expect with Dan? Roasted you on Twitter yesterday. And I told him, come on now. That's not right, right? No, Dan's listening
to something. My feeling on that as a Philadelphian is, first of all, I'm a lawyer, and no, that those spaces are on the street are community spaces. You should not be able to preserve them. However, I'm also a realist, and I know that if I tried to pull my car in a space where someone had put a chair or some other marker, I'd probably get a brick through it. So I don't think I would try.
Well, that's not the way it should be, though, Linda. That's the entire point. Is that's the reality of what it is. But no, it shouldn't be that way.
Of course, it should. It's America. Wait a minute. This election was about this.
Linda, as an attorney, let me ask you: if I go mow the lawn of a vacant lot that's for sale, do I automatically own the vacant
lot? No. And Dan, I'm with you. I said I don't think you should be able to preserve a public space like that. I absolutely don't think that. However, I'm a realist, and I wouldn't pull into someone's space who had preserved it, because I know how Philadelphians are.
Okay, that's fair.
Not to speak poorly of my fellow Philadelphians, but I am a real, and frankly, and I know that, you know, I think I saw in Philadelphia Magazine they're claiming crime is down, but I'm afraid to park my car in the street, because it just seems like there's just tons of petty theft. You end up getting scratched or someone breaking into it. So, you know, we really have a lot to work on in Philadelphia.
We'll take care of you. Terrible. All right, well, Linda, thank you again for everything, and we'll relive everything on Inauguration Day at the NAC.
I can't wait. And if anyone is interested in participating in elections, still go to protectthevote.com. When you go to protectthevote.com, just go to Pennsylvania. You can sign up to be a volunteer. It still says 2024 in there, but I'm going to have the computer people fix that. And we are recruiting people. We want to see people involved in every election. We have elections in Pennsylvania twice a year, every year. We don't just have them in presidential years.
Thank you, Linda. See you soon.
Take care.
All right, Linda Kearns here on Talk Radio 1210. It's a lightning round next. And don't forget, Get there early. We'll be broadcasting Nick's show, Dawn's show, my show, up until 3 o'clock. And when President Trump takes the oath, I know in 2016 we were at Chickie and Pete's. It was a magical moment. You want to be there. You want to be heard. I'm sure there'll be other things that go on too. Newtown Athletic Club, right there in Bucks County. Thanks to Jim Worthington. Lightning round next. Who broke your heart on Talk Radio 1210?
Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, it is Dom time. Who broke your heart in a big way? Disappointment, that kind of thing. That's what we're looking for. Let's go to Joe in Westchester. All right, Joe, what's your answer today?
I am Dom. Joe in Westchester, you called?
Yes, Joe. What's your answer?
Yeah. My answer was the FBI. And I'm sitting on a sofa with a blanket from a family friend who worked for the Department of Justice. And the FBI briefly, not as an agent.
Okay, thank you, Joe. All right, yeah, it is personal. The FBI, pretty good, very good reputation. Dwayne's got a good one.
Something just happened behind the scenes here, Dom. Bruce in the Northeast called us.
Okay.
And we haven't heard from him in a long time. Remember, exactly. We were wondering if he's okay?
Yeah.
And then Henry answers it, and just silence. And
dang phones.
There's no one there. Oh, I think he's calling back, so he might hear from Bruce in some
point. Good. Dwayne in Valley Forge. Hey, Dwayne, afternoon. What do you have today?
Hi, Dom. She was a featured guest in the speaker series, 1210 speaker series,
sure,
in my neighborhood at the Colonial Theater. Bright, young, conservative author. I thought the world of her. But she broke all of our hearts when she stepped Rich and Don and the entire Zeoli army by not showing up at a speaker event in Berkeley, California.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Well, and she also wrote these wonderful things about Trump and then turned virulently anti-Trump. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what do you have?
Happy New Year, Don.
Happy
Dan,
New Year, Joe.
Henry.
Thank you.
My soul-wrenching disappointment was the collapse of the 1964 Phillies.
Yeah, it was shocking, and Gene Mock didn't have any formula out of it. Thank you, Joe. That's a good one. Joe in Columbus next. Hi, Joe. What do you have?
Good afternoon. I think me and Joe from Bordentown are brothers from another mother. We grew up and we were born in the same little Italian ghetto, but we never met each other. And he's something else. I got to tell him that. My side question answer is everybody's sweetheart with Arnold Palmer and the Hertz commercials. He broke our heart overnight, and that was O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, people that say, oh, they knew, they always suspect that. That's ridiculous. It was shocking, if you remember, Joe, for 3 or 4 days, that when they started to say, well, they always think of the husband first, they think of O.J. We're like, what, are you kidding me?
And Hollywood crafted him, Dom.
Yeah.
They really did. They protected him. He was a kind of a gangbanger in junior college before he went to USC, in the streets of L.A. They eradicated that whole part of his past. And they made him. They made him everybody's sweetheart.
That's a good one. That is a real good one. The Earl of Tacony. Earl, what do you have?
My answer is going to be Mitt Romney. Mittens. He was supposed to be Donald Trump. I mean, you remember when he was running for office? Oh, he's a rich guy. He goes and he buys companies and he fires people and he makes these companies more efficient. And he lost to Obama. And then all of a sudden, Trump comes in doing the Mitt Romney playbook. And all of a sudden, Mitt Romney's like, oh, this is a bad thing. And it's like, well, wait, this is everything that you were running for. The reason I voted for Mitt Romney is because Mitt Romney was going to do the exact same stuff that Trump ended up doing in the future.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising. I mean, there's bad blood personally, but still, overall, the get even with him, the impeachment and everything else. Yeah, Mitt Romney definitely qualifies. Our last hitter, Joe in Exton on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, who do you have today?
Yes, hello, Dom.
Hi,
afternoon.
Joe.
My disappointment is in the person of George Soros. Soros is a native of Hungary, who experienced fascistic dictators. Soros then flees Hungary and finds refuge in America, which allows him to use his financial genius to acquire great wealth. Then rather than showing gratitude to the country that gave him shelter, Soros uses his wealth to support left-wing policies that are detrimental to America.
Thank you, Joe. All right, nice list here, particularly at the end. Who broke your heart?
Were you ever in love with George Soros? That's what I was going to ask.
Henry, who is it that you liked out of all this?
Yeah, the answer that stuck out to me today was Chris and Malvern's answer of CNN. I remember growing up thinking like CNN was like the standard of news, and he detailed his time, you know, serving overseas and like watching that coverage.
Very passionate call. Yeah, yes.
And then like what's happened to them? I don't, you know, it's hard to believe. It's hard.
Yeah,
to
well, they owned international news because they were 24/7, without a doubt. Dan, what do you say?
I was actually going to say CNN myself. I really like that answer, but also I think O.J. Simpson, Joe in Columbus, had a really good call there. Mm-hmm. 1964 Phillies from Joe in Bordentown, and then a third Joe, a lot of Joes, Joe in Westchester with the FBI as well.
Yeah, I think I love the call, the CNN call, and it does take you back. CNN was not always like this. I mean, I'm sure it was always vaguely liberal, but it was newsy.
Well, you got to think, CNN was the first 24-hour news network, war coverage. You know,
exactly.
And a lot of what they did was revolutionary before the bias set in, and I don't know, it's okay to remember when CNN once had great coverage overseas and all of it.
And the fact that he was serving with this and checking in on it was a great call. So, Chris and Malvern, your name goes into the hat. Good one today. Maybe renaming tomorrow. To take us out, Dan, do you have Trump, is it isolated, just saying, why can't we name it the Gulf of America? Or is it in that still
we're
in that long thing?
Yeah, going to be announcing a future date. Pretty soon we're going to change, because we do most of the work there and it's ours. We're going to be changing sort of the opposite of Biden, where he's closing everything up, essentially getting rid of $50 to $60 trillion worth of assets. We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Woo! All right, there you go. And Marjorie Taylor Greene just dropped the bill I was reading a moment ago to do that. They're going to say, why do we have to do that? Oh, you jingoistic people. You know, no, it's the right thing to do. Yeah, Lee Greenwood will be there when they pull off the big banner that says Gulf of America. All right. Great stuff today. Richie always next. Join us tomorrow, noon until 3. Sing it, Lee. Follow on Twitter at DomShow1210. All that happening each and every day with the side question and everything else. Quite a news conference today with President Trump and great news with Jeff Van Drew. You're listening to Dom Giordano here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.